What a good way to start off a worship service. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. Good music, good singing. Praise God for every bit of it. I want to share some verses of Scripture with you today. Things been on my heart just a little bit, but I want to start out being very plain about this. I got my name put in the bulletin about pray for your pastor. Y'all, you know, a lot of people don't think much about that, but I want to say this about that. Are they going downstairs? Okay, we'll give them time. Girls, y'all going? Guys? Where's the guys? Oh, we got girls. Here they come. Here they come. Guys and girls. Okay. This door downstairs now will be locked. So when you get ready to get your kids, go down the steps because you'll be locked out down this way. Like I said, we're on safety precautions. Anybody else want to go? Here comes another one. Now then, here we go. We'll start again. I was telling you, I got my name put in the bulletin, you know, to pray for your pastor. And, you know, it don't seem like a real big thing to a lot of people. But I'm going to tell you, I want to say thank you for everybody that prayed for me. I know somebody did. I can't call your name, but I know somebody prayed for me. I'm coming in here this morning feel refreshed in the spirit. I'm telling you what. I don't know if y'all ever had that feeling or not, but just a refreshing from the power of God, uplifting, and it seemed like my spirit and his spirit just been intertwined for the last day or two, excited about what's taking place and what's going on. I'm going to talk to you a little bit this morning about the Word of God, about faith, and several other things. I believe that you'll get a message from God if you'll receive it. If you'll receive it. That's where it comes to. I want to start out reading in Romans chapter 10, and I'm going to start in verse 9. We're going to go through the plan of salvation right here, and then I want us to think about after we're saved, what's our next step? What can we increase? What can we gain? How can we move forward for the cause of God? Now, salvation, you know, when you're saved by the grace of God, that's a wonderful thing. Your only way to heaven. But we've got to spend a lifetime in these bodies, in this flesh, until we get there. So let's try to get a plan together of how we're going to greatly praise and worship an almighty God, not only as individuals, but also as a group. I want to hit on just a little bit of all that. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and the mouth with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? In verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I thought about an opportunity we have to come together for a group worship this morning that we praise and uplift the name of God. And it would be a shame that if you went away without increased faith, right? So then faith coming by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So let's get some of the Word of God out. You might go away with greater faith than you ever have. I want to make an explanation, kind of. I talked to a guy the other day. He said, well, faith, faith, faith. I hear faith all the time. I still got the trouble. I want you to know faith don't always take away the trouble, but faith will always get you through it. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, that's God's plan, you know, that there's going to be problems and trouble in this life. You know, the Scripture said, man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble, but we have that faith to get us through that trouble. Praise God. And so when we start thinking about faith and an increase, it's according to the Word of God, faith coming by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so the more Word of God we can get into you, the greater your faith's going to be. Everybody needs this faith. We've come here an opportunity to worship as a group this morning. You know, a good group. praise God, you know, for all the sickness we've got and the people that I know that's sick and not able to attend today. I'm telling you, we've turned out a great group, a great number this morning, and we've come here for an opportunity to worship as a group made up of individuals. Notice that. Made up of individuals who are brought together in one body by Christ our Savior. So let's talk about the body a minute. Let's talk about the church, the body of Christ. That's what we've come into this morning. You've come into Jesus. Amen? You've come into Jesus this morning for a group worship, a time, an opportunity that we uplift and magnify the power and the greatness of God. Now, it's important about individual worship also. I know the power of that. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, tells us to rejoice evermore. You know, it's very short. It said, rejoice evermore. And, you know, this morning I was sitting down here on the bench and some things happening, people singing, and I began to rejoice a little bit. Y'all can usually always tell when I'm rejoicing because I'll have at least one hand, sometimes two hands, and sometimes stick my feet up in there. You can't never tell. But rejoicing, and everybody does it in a different way, praise God, that we're individuals, and as individuals, we're to rejoice evermore. And then in verse 17, it said, very pray without ceasing. And so I think about our efforts to individual praise of God, individual prayer services that we have for ourselves, and I'm telling you that's an important part of a church. But I want you to also know this group worship where we come to this morning as a church coming together has more power. Let's explain that just a little bit. Somebody's going to think, well, he says the church got more power than my prayer. Well, let's use the number system. Is 10 greater than 1? Amen? Is 150 greater than 1? Amen? So if we come in one heart, one mind, one accord, and we're all praying for the same thing, there's a lot of prayer going up to God. And so group worship is an important part. Let's look over, if you'll turn with me in Romans chapter 12, I believe is where I want to go. Romans chapter 12. Y'all turn over with me. Romans chapter 12, and I'll start in verse 4. Romans 12 and verse 4, just about a page or two over. In verse 4, it said, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Now, notice this. All members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. And so it ties us all together through the faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As Christians, we're brought together, brothers and sisters in Christ, into one body that we have here this morning, the church. And it talks about this, and I got thinking about how it compares. You know, there's times we'll have a church dinner around here. Amen. I'm not hinting, but you know how it is. Some days we'll have a church dinner around here. And I don't cook, but I'll notice my wife, she'll make at least one something, and sometimes two, and sometimes three. Amen? And I know a lot of you folks here do the same, that y'all bring one thing or two things, or maybe three, or sometimes even more. Some people get all fired up, bring a carload of stuff over here. But we all bring it in, and we put it together on one table. Now, you notice this comparison. Put it together on one table. Now, if I just take what she brought, you know, I love beans, but not all the time and by themselves. I love several things, but I think what an opportunity it is when we come together, we all prepare, we put it on the table, and what opportunity we have. I've looked at some of our tables, and they're just beautiful. And in that is strength. And so we're talking about many members, and we're talking about individuals of the church. We're talking about these members bringing different things to the table. Amen? We've all got different abilities. We've all got different gifts. We've all got different things we can do in the church. And I thought about, you know, you come in and bring what you got, and somebody else brings what they got, and somebody else brings what they got, and you wind up with a table full of strength and encouragement. Can you all get that picture? That's how the church works. Church works the same thing. When everybody puts in what they've got, It goes a little farther. It says, so we being many are one body in Christ and every one members of another, having then different gifts according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. And so we have this listing of what everybody brings into this church. Individuals coming together, brought together by Jesus Christ and the blood shed on the cross of Calvary, that we become one body in Christ, the church. Amen? And this church, I'm going to tell you, has an opportunity and a responsibility that we glorify God. And I believe it's an easier thing to do for us to glorify God when we all bring our part in, when we all set our thing on the table and prepare this meal, then we can glorify God, which is our responsibility as sons and daughters of God. Amen? Y'all got it? I think you're getting it. There's great security. Great security in having membership in the church. A lot of people don't understand. I don't believe I could get by without y'all. And I know I wouldn't want to try. Because there's strength. There's encouragement. Just as I've told you this week, that somebody's prayed for me because I've been refreshed in the spirit. I've had just a overwhelming, you know, just an uplifting. And I wouldn't go through it without you. I'd hate to try to go through a sickness, a cancer, or a loss of a family member or something without a church family. And that's what we become. We become a family in the eyes of God. And there's strength in that family of God, the church, the body of Christ. We look a little bit farther, and I think the church is a great place to find a prayer partner, don't y'all? Boy, I mean, it makes a difference. But it's a good place to find a prayer partner. And a lot of people say, well, I pray by myself. Amen. You sure can, and I'm glad you do. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of times that a prayer partner will be helpful because they might get something that you miss. Amen. There might be the time that, you know, you're just not understanding, you're not seeing the need or whatever, and they may see that. It may be revealed to them by Almighty God and the Spirit of God revealing it unto them, and prayer partners. And some people say, well, who needs a prayer partner? I'm going to tell you, Jesus had prayer partners. Amen. This thought just came to me, but I think about it. And Jesus had prayer partners. Let's look back, if you will. Matthew chapter 26. Turn back here with me. Matthew chapter 26, and I'll have to look the verse up. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. We're talking about somebody to help you pray. We're talking about somebody you can depend on that's close enough to you that knows your need or knows what's going on in your life. I love it when I have a problem and somebody calls me up and said, I'm praying for you. That's most of the time the most important thing you could do for anybody is pray for them. We can't heal them. We can't get them over a sickness, but I know God that can, and we can pray for them. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go yonder and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be very sorrowful and heavy. Now, I want you to notice, he didn't take all the disciples, but he called out three. These were the three closest to him, I'm going to preach. These are the three that knew more about him and had been with him and been more faithful. And so he took friends, his closest friends, he took with him to pray. Now, at the illustration and the looking at Jesus and what he did, wouldn't it be a good thing for us to take two or three of our closest friends with us when we go to pray to God? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? If you don't have a prayer partner, I suggest you be hunting one. Just stand up and say, look to somebody and say, me and you are close. I want you to be my prayer partner to God. I've got things I want to see happen and change in my life, and I'm asking you to help me pray. Verse 38, then said he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here and watch with me. Notice that. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thou will. So he teaches us another thing right there, that you pray in the will of God. You know, there's some things that God just don't want for me. There's some things that's just not his will for me to have. You know, I've always thought, well, if I was rich, I might get snooty and high-headed. You can't ever tell. Amen. But God has a plan for us. So Jesus praying in the will of God. He said, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thou wilt. And so God's plan in verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He's a little bit disappointed in his prayer partner. Although he had picked them and handpicked them and took them with him. He come back, finds them asleep, a little bit disappointed in the prayer partner. 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He chose his prayer partners. They kind of let him down, but still he chose them. He comes back and reminds them, watch and pray. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. I thought about how special it was to have prayer partners. People that you could trust to talk about your problems and your situations in life and the things that you'd like to see change and happen. A prayer partner that you can depend on, that you can ask him, he's not going to sleep through it or she's not going to sleep through it, but they'll be willing to pray as you ask them to. Amen. Let's look over, and I'm going to close with this. Let's look over to, you'd be turning over to Hebrews chapter 10. I'll remind you as you're turning over there about people that help. Matthew chapter 18 verse 20 is very plain. It said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And so it talks about this gathering, two or three together, and God's in our midst. And so these prayer partners that we have, when we're praying one heart, one mind, one accord for the same purpose in life, God's right in the middle of it. You know, I think about that a lot. God's in it. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And so we have the promise of God that if you'll gather and pray, he'll be in the midst. Two or three, that's all it takes. Jesus took three. Let's look over to Hebrews. Turn over there with me. Hebrews chapter 10, just for a few minutes. And starting in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, I love this verse, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. Boldness. You know, that's what's needed in our Christian lives today. Boldness. Knowing that, oh yeah, oh, if I hadn't told you lately, I'm a child of God and I'm in the body of Christ. And I should have a boldness that we're ready to praise and uplift the name of God in all situations. You know, not being nervous about it. You know, Tim said in the choir a minute ago, he said, I'd made a resolution this year that I was going to praise God more. That's as good a one as I ever heard. You know it? That's as good. And I'm not just magnifying Tim, but that's a good promise to make, that I'm going to praise God more this year. And you might do it better by group worship and group praise in the church. In verse 20, it said, by a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Thank God for that. Got a high priest over the house of God. Somebody said the other day, it said, are you in charge? And I said, no, sir. Never will be in charge. I said, we've got a high priest. Amen. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. I'm just an under-shepherd. I just get to bring the word. He's the one that does the work. He's the one that reveals this word to your soul through the Holy Ghost of God, spirit to spirit. I just get to bring the word. I'm telling you, we have a high priest. Amen. Thank God for him. I'm prouder of that fact than I am that we got a guard sitting in the back. Because he can handle more than our guard. It said, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. This is instruction from God that we don't waver, we don't waffle, but we continue in the work of God that He's given us. And verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, that we think about each other, that they're on our mind. Have y'all ever had a time, maybe you sit down to rest or lay down to sleep at night and somebody comes on your mind? And you can't get them off? Well, what you need to do is talk to them about that and say, you was on my mind. I'm going to pray for you. In verse 25, it said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, you know, I don't preach hour and day of the Lord coming, but I can tell you He's coming. Amen. I can't preach the hour and day, but I can tell you it's the promise of God that the Lord's going to come back. I'm not going to try to tell you when. I don't know for sure, and I don't want to do anything to mislead you. But I'm going to tell you something. We went on a trip years ago down to Gulf Shores. Amen. A family trip. We're going down to Gulf Shores. And I come out of my driveway, and I turned right, headed south, and there wasn't a sign there that said Gulf Shores. But I knew to go south. And as I got down south and got down the freeway, I got on the free Interstate 59, and I went south again. Amen. There still wasn't a sign. There was no sign there that said Gulf Shores. But I knew, just keep going south. As we traveled on down and got down below Birmingham and on down below Tuscaloosa, got down there, and I got to notice there was a sign that said Gulf Shores. Amen. Same way as the Lord coming back. You can see the signs. If you look, you may not see one today, but the signs are coming. I got down that far, and I saw a sign that said, Gulf Shores. I knew which way to go. Knew I was on the right track. We're on the right track. Now, as we talked about this, it said, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we're talking about today. And what does it say to do? It said to exhort each other. I thought about over where I was in chapter 12, and I thought about the different pieces. You know, it talks about the arms and the hands and the eyes in another place, but making up the body of Christ. And I got to thinking about the list of what makes up the body of Christ. You know, we've got people here that's got the gift of preaching. We've got people here that's got a gift of teaching. We've got people here that's got a gift of praying. We've got people here got a gift of music. I guess y'all heard that this morning. We got people here that's got a gift of singing. And all these things important. And I got thinking about one of the most important that could happen. We need people with the gift of encouragement. I mean, all of it's good. All of it's necessity. But I know a lot of people will disqualify themselves. They say, well, I don't preach and I don't teach and I don't play and I don't sing. They don't usually tell you I don't pray, but I wonder about it sometimes. That's just my problem, not yours. But I thought about encouragement. Now, you can do this in a lot of ways. You can pray for them. But one of the best ways I've ever found to encourage somebody is maybe walk up and give them a big smile. And maybe a handshake. Or maybe even a hug around the neck and tell them I appreciate you. I appreciate the work you do. I appreciate your stand for Christ. I appreciate what I see, the works in the families. And everybody needs encouragement to stay in time. Amen. If you can't feel anything on that list except encouragement, that's the one I'd like you to work on. That's the one God encourages us to do. You're not going to get encouraged watching the news. I guarantee you none of you got encouraged watching the stock market this week. Amen. But you can encourage each other. This body of Christ, this church, can be a place of encouragement for all who need it. I tell you what, y'all keep praying, and I'll follow the Lord and try to keep preaching. I believe that's hand in hand. And if you hadn't encouraged somebody today, shame on you. Because you probably had an opportunity already to encourage somebody, to uplift them, to strengthen them. We got people in this church going through situations in life. And like I said, Faith don't always take away the situation, but faith will always get you through it. Amen. Let's have a verse of song. We'll close service out. That's the message I believe God sent. I hope you got something out of it. I hope that you go away and want to encourage somebody, help them through a hard spot or something, you know. And encouragement is one of the greatest things I believe we've got an opportunity to do in a church. That's something that everybody can do. Amen. Now, you might have to train yourself for it, but everybody can do it. Everybody can be a source of an encouragement for somebody. Amen. All right, we're going to sing a verse of song. Anybody need to come pray, y'all come on up. I don't know everybody's heart. I've preached to you about the power of group worship, the church. If I wasn't part of this church, I'd join today. Without a doubt. If I didn't already have a membership, I'd be down here trying to get one. Say, well, if y'all have me, I'm coming. And so you need to be part of the body of Christ. And we do that through statement, baptism, whatever it takes to get you right with God. You know, if you're saved, we can handle it from there on. If you're not saved, we'll pray for you. Encouragement to each other. Amen.